Four city-owned buildings in downtown Middletown are at the center of a debate there. Should the structures be saved and restored or demolished to make way for something new? This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about those buildings and what's being considered for them is Butler County Finance Authority President and CEO Joshua Smith. Thanks so much for being here, Joshua.
Thank you for having me today.
And I want to mention, we did invite representatives of the city of Middletown. They were not able to join us because of cybersecurity problems that they are dealing with. Joshua, tell us about these four city-owned buildings in downtown Middletown. How big are they? What kind of condition are they in?
So the four buildings that we're discussing, two of them are historic bank buildings. One of them was a First National Bank building, and the other one is now known as the Getz Tower, and I can't recall the name of the bank that built that structure. But both of them are 6-7-story type buildings right at a very critical intersection in downtown, which is Central and Main and downtown Middletown. The other two buildings, one is a former hotel, the Manchester Hotel. The other one was built, I believe, in the 1920s or 1930s as a structure that for a Ford dealership that was in downtown Middletown. All four have pretty significant history in downtown.
Sounds like they have a big presence, too. What kind of condition are they in? Does that differ from building to building?
It does a little bit. All four have been empty for a significant amount of time. All four have pretty significant challenges in terms of restoring them and figuring out what an appropriate reuse of the buildings will be. And to be very clear, my organization is working alongside the city and different organizations, just trying to evaluate, you know, what's the feasibility of actually salvaging some of these buildings in some form of an adaptive historic reuse concept. Again, I mean, the city truly wants to do the right thing. It's simply a matter of, you know, what buildings can legitimately be saved and which ones, you know, make sense financially to be reused.
What kind of redevelopment efforts have been made? Do you know? Do you know what developer interest is in these buildings?
I can only speak of my involvement the last 90 days. I can't speak historically what has been done with the buildings. I will tell you what I have done, or my organization has done in the last 90 or so days, is we have taken legitimate developers through the structures. One developer in particular has significant investments in downtown Cincinnati, downtown Dayton, downtown Columbus. And their opinion was probably of the most interest to me in terms of what they saw. And this is the one building in particular was the Manchester Hotel, which has just tremendous history associated with it. The problem is if it was converted into apartments, the way that it was designed with a hotel, it had a lot of common space and approximately 110 hotel rooms. That if it was converted into an apartment complex or some type of residential reuse, that it would only generate maybe 50 residential units. And the cost of doing so from their perspective and the different development companies I talked with perspective was simply just too cost prohibitive. They all essentially said the same thing. The best way to preserve it would likely be to try to keep the original use, which was a hotel. But the question becomes, you know, what type of hotel demand exists for that hotel today, you know, what bank would actually finance that type of development? So, I mean, that's really the struggle with the Manchester Hotel in particular. The other buildings are more situated for residential reuse on the upper floors with the first floor commercial anchor. And those have received, I would say, more positive feedback from the different developers. I mean, it's one thing to speculate on who could actually redo a project like that. It's another to take developers that have done historic adaptive reuse in multiple communities, show them the building, and just ask them questions like, if you own this building, what would you use it for? If you did not own the building, what type of an incentive would you need? It's pretty powerful when you tell a developer, if I gave you $5 million as a grant, seed money to start the redevelopment of this building, would you do it? Yes or no? And the answer is no.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's saying no to $5 million. I guess that means it's going to cost a heck of a lot more than $5 million to make it into something. Is that why there hasn't been anything more that's happened with these buildings, just because it would be so expensive to adapt them into some kind of use that makes sense today?
That in combination that downtown Middletown currently just lacks people. When I think about, you know, my experience for the past 14 years has been in downtown Hamilton, and we saw a lot of success in downtown Hamilton. And largely it was a developer that came when I first got there by the name of Steve Kuhn out of Canton, Ohio, that stressed before you do anything, you need to figure out a way to get people in the downtown. If that means you build residential downtown, if it means you recruit more restaurants downtown, but you need to have the vibrancy, you need to have people in your downtown. And he did a downtown adaptive reuse project, which was 29 residential units upstairs, first floor commercial that had three tenants. And that really kickstarted what we did in the downtown. And since that time, downtown went from having 29 apartments downtown that he did in 2011, 2012, to probably over 450 apartments. And we added a hotel. There's six or seven new restaurants that came. In Middletown right now, it certainly has the urban fabric to replicate what Hamilton saw. It just lacks, you know, the initial start of that, you know, what's coming first. And that's really when my organization became involved about 90 days ago in consultation with the city and other people, was how do we, you know, what is the strategy? Where do we start? How do we get people back in the downtown? And it in my mind, it really starts with people living in the downtown.
You mentioned, most of your experiences with downtown Hamilton and Hamilton. What can you tell us about downtown Middletown for people who may not be familiar with the downtown or the area? You know, I think a lot of us know Middletown experienced tremendous job loss in the 90s. What are you seeing there now? Is there is the downtown kind of bouncing back?
Well, I'm just being very honest. What I see when I go to Middletown and I'm there almost every workday for the past 90 days is I see opportunity everywhere I look. They have incredible building stock. They have the Great Miami River. They have all these assets, available land, access to direct access to Interstate 75. I've been telling their city staff, their city council, their community foundation, their chamber of commerce, anyone that's going to listen, that I, in my heart of hearts, Middletown is it's there. It just needs the push in the right direction. And I can't even tell you how excited I am about having the opportunity to work, you know, alongside the city and Middletown, because I know that there's going to be great progress in the coming years. We just have to start.
As part of this partnership with the city, what will you and your organization be looking at with these buildings to try to figure out how and whether they could be restored?
No different than 3CDC and Over the Rhine or the Core Fund in Hamilton. There has to be some dedicated capital funding to kickstart this. There's been some very early conversations that I will just say have been very positive. I believe that that part of it is coming together nicely. And when that is announced, I think that's going to start us in the direction that that Middletown needs to be going. And the city of Middletown is front and center in that partnership.
Do you have a sense for how big an endeavor this would be for the city to, you know, be part of revitalizing some or all of these buildings, and how much it would cost to stabilize these buildings? And I understand some have leaky roofs. There are other problems. Do you know what it would cost to kind of get them under control?
I don't. But what I have been preaching to anyone that will listen is it's we're going to have to leverage local community funds with developer funds. I think back in Hamilton, we had to heavily incentivize the early projects. As we started making progress, it took less and less community dollars in terms of what was happening. But there's going to have to be some significant community dollars early on to partner with private development dollars. But that number, as progress is being made, should start to go down. I'm pretty comfortable that the majority of the buildings will not come down. I mean, that is a city council decision. That is not a Joshua Smith decision. But I know the city does not want to lose the buildings. Not every structure you can save. You know, when a building is unsafe, financially unviable, is blocking potential redevelopments, selective demolition does allow, in my opinion, Middletown to save more of its historic core, but it should be very selective and strategic. My sense is that the toughest of all the buildings currently is the Manchester Hotel, but the buildings that are at the intersection of Main and Central, which if you go to downtown Middletown, there literally is a historic stone saying this is where Middletown started in 1802, that intersection at all costs needs to be preserved. Not that I'm advocating for the demolition of the Manchester or the building adjacent to it. My sense is based on direct conversations with different development companies that have experience and passion about historic adaptive reuse. If they're telling me that it's even with $5 million grant, it's not feasible, then my sense is that would be the likely target. But outside of that, I don't see any reason why any other building in downtown Middletown should be demolished.
And you have had that conversation with developers saying, hey, if you had a $5 million grant for the Manchester Inn, would you take it to bring it back to life? And they've said no.
Yes, that's exactly what they said.
Well, I know this group called Save Downtown Middletown is advocating for preserving these buildings. What, if any, role do you think public sentiment is going to play in the decisions that the city has to make?
Obviously, the citizens should have, I mean, they're a key stakeholder of the city government. I mean, they should have a say. I have talked to several members of that organization. I've informed them of, what I have heard from development companies. And while certainly not happy about it, I think it's my sense that they understand that we have to be very selective and strategic in what we do, because in my opinion, what we're trying to do is save downtown. Even above saving certain historic buildings, the first thing that we have to think about is what are we doing to save downtown Middletown? And that has to take precedent over anything else. That is the objective that we're trying to accomplish. And if that means the selective or the strategic demolition of one building or one block to preserve the other buildings, I think that's important. I never lead with taking any historic structure down because, in my heart of hearts, what makes in Butler County, what makes a Hamilton or Middletown unique is the fact that they have history and architecture and the river, things that you don't see in the newer, shinier parts of Butler County. But Middletown and Hamilton need to preserve as much as their history and heritage as they possibly can, because that's what makes them unique. That is their strategic advantage. All that being said, sometimes something may have to come down to achieve something greater for the community.
Well, I've been talking with Butler County Finance Authority President and CEO Joshua Smith. Thank you so much for your time today. Up next, we'll hear from an advocate for preserving these buildings. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about four city-owned buildings in Middletown and whether the historic structures will be preserved or demolished. Joining me now to discuss the benefits of conservation is Gabe Shainline, a member of Middletown's Planning Commission and a member of Save Downtown Middletown. Thanks for being here, Gabe.
It's an honor to be here. Big fan.
Well, we appreciate it. We just heard from Joshua Smith about the importance of saving downtown Middletown. In your view, how important is it to save these city-owned buildings?
So when our coalition decided to give ourselves a name, we chose Save Downtown Middletown. It's kind of generic, but there's a reason for that. There are people who care most about the history of these buildings. There are people who care most about the architectural beauty, people who care most about the importance they have to the economic viability, future economic viability of downtown Middletown. And there are people who just have personal connections to these buildings. They may have met their wife there at a ball. They may have seen JFK there or Ronald Reagan and Brezhnev or the Temptations. So it depends on who you ask, but we find that all of these things are, critical to a city's economic future and viability. They need that to prosper and survive. So that's why we chose the name Save Downtown Middletown.
Yeah, kind of honor the past as part of the future.
Right.
And Joshua seemed to say the historic hotel, the Manchester Inn, might be the most difficult to save. Do you have a sense or do you have feelings about how important the Manchester itself is in all of this?
It does appear that that hotel will be the most difficult to save because of the relatively high cost of restoration. There's no disagreement about that. There's also no disagreement that once this real estate is improved, whether that's through restoration or demolition and redevelopment, that's going to be a watershed economically for downtown. Like Josh said, we have many community assets that surround that area. Smith Park, which draws tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people to Middletown every year. The Central Avenue Business District, which also has great architecture, a lot of space for businesses and apartments. There's the South Main Historic District, which has world-class Victorian homes that people come to visit every year, thousands of people. There's the riverfront property that's sort of pristine and undeveloped with a lot of opportunity there. Forest Hills Golf Club and the airport. There's so much surrounding it. So we all agree that this is a central piece to the revitalization puzzle. Once it gets filled, we think there'll be a watershed there.
Yeah.
I think where the disagreement lies is in the importance of the Manchester building itself. On one hand, you have members of our coalition, Save Downtown Middletown, who recognize the importance of the city's heritage, its beauty and character, connections felt by its citizens, and its long-term economic viability. These are actually Middletonians, and this is how they feel. And their sentiments are echoed around the world in places like Hamilton, which is coming back in a big way, Lebanon, which has leveraged their historic assets, Oregon District in Dayton, Short North in Cincinnati, Charleston, South Carolina, Savannah, London, Paris, Rome. I mean, yeah. The list goes on and on. But on the other hand, judging from experience over the last couple decades, developers have been unwilling to take on these restoration projects, like Josh mentioned. And some city staff, who many of them don't live in Middletown and might not feel those same connections and have that long-term emotional investment in downtown, they might not care as much about the building itself.
Well, let me interrupt you there. What kind of track record does the city of Middletown have when it comes to historic preservation?
I think they've said the right things. Our comprehensive plan, I think correctly, repeats many times that leveraging our historic assets will be critical to our economic viability moving forward. So while they've been echoing those sentiments, I've been saying it's important, but their actions and what they've accomplished since then stands in stark contrast to what they've been saying. So, you know, when city council put these buildings on the demolition block back in May, you know, we see them moving in sort of a different direction. They were also talking about, you know, the state of disrepair for these buildings and how that was an obstacle to bringing them back. So I feel like on paper and in policy, they say they're moving in the right direction, but their actions and their accomplishments kind of speak differently, unfortunately.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how much it would cost to save these buildings or, you know, or to demolish them, either the Manchester or any of them? I know some of that can be hard to gauge those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, if by save you mean the minimum preservative maintenance to keep the building standing, we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We asked. The mayor back in May said we need cost analyses of all the options on the table. That includes restoration and reuse. It includes just demolition, you know, if you just want a parking lot to go there afterwards. It also includes, you know, basic maintenance just to keep the building standing. And it includes demolition plus redevelopment. What we got in this report, which I recently got a copy of, was just the cost of restoration and reuse and demolition. Mm. So they did not say, when they say demolition is the most cost-effective way to deal with this, they're not including the cost of whatever developments will go in the Manchester's place.
Or the cost of just kind of mothballing the
right.
buildings, getting them
but you asked for
stabilized.
Yeah. You asked for the cost. So for the Manchester, restoration would be $18 to $21 million. Demolition would be $1.3 million. But like I said, that doesn't include the cost of developing what would go there in its place.
Right. And it sounds like there's no in-between figure about, okay, if we fix the roof and kind of stop the bleeding, what would that cost to
right.
kind of
right.
set it aside
simple
for the future?
Maintenance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So how is the group Save Downtown Middletown approaching this? What do you think it's going to take to save these buildings? Are you hopeful that you can save all of them?
We started off kind of with an adversarial posture with city council. When you tell people you're going to demolish their beloved historic buildings, people, you know, get the pitchforks out. But since then, I think I've had excellent communication with them. City council has been very gracious. City staff has worked with us on a new RFQ. So I think for a long time now, we've all been kind of on the same team. And like Josh said, there are economic realities that we have to face, and we have to be practical about that. If it turns out that the best chance we have to save downtown Middletown is to take down the Manchester and build new affordable housing units there, I trust Josh, and I will regretfully accept that decision from city council along those lines. But that doesn't mean I agree with developers that there's no long-term ROI for saving the Manchester. I think it's inevitable, but that's not how they think. They're more interested in the short-term risks of investment. So, mm-hmm. And that's their job. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So talk about what's next with this. Can the public still get involved in terms of how these decisions are going to be made? Because city council ultimately has the say about what's going to happen with these buildings, right?
That's right. Yep. We don't even have the power of referendum if they vote to take one of these buildings down, if they make it an emergency issue, which they probably will if that's what they want to do. So they have the votes. We don't. What we can do is continue to promote our cause, to try to recruit members for the Save Downtown Middletown Coalition, coming on your show and talking about it and hopefully getting folks on our side and, you know, working to help Josh Smith and the city find developers who would be interested. Like I said before, this real estate that the Manchester sits on, once it is no longer vacant, once we have people and businesses there, it will be synergistic for our entire city. All the major assets will be connected. I think it would be great. And so I see that the ROI is, in the long term, for people who are living in Middletown, invested for the long term, I think it's automatic. So yeah. We'll try to get that message out.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying if you can fill in around the Manchester and at least preserve it, that it will make sense in the future to have it be a hotel or something else in that building
right.
that exists.
Right.
Okay. And we're running short on time, but you've talked about this a little bit, but how do you see these buildings fitting into kind of the overall picture for downtown Middleton and the city as a whole, the goals for the city as a whole?
Like I said before, leveraging our historic assets, our buildings, our architecture, and the history attached to them, I think that's our greatest asset. I think if we're going to be drawing new residents, consumers and shoppers and visitors and new businesses here, that's going to be the differentiator. It's not our only asset, but I do think it's our biggest by far. So, you know, the beauty of these buildings, the fact that they sit on like Josh said, right, you know, it's prime real estate. They're front and center downtown. When you take those down, we look like every other, you know, run-of-the-mill cookie-cutter town across the U.S., and that's not going to bring people here. I think that'll make things worse. So we want to preserve those buildings, keep our downtown beautiful, and go from there.
Yeah. And I know you said you're still advocating, working to build your coalition. What do you think overall of this process and approach the city's been using when it comes to deciding what to do with these buildings and just revitalizing downtown generally?
Like I said before, they've been saying the right things. They said they were going to do a cost analysis, and they did, but it was sort of incomplete. I think they've been great about communicating with us and being mostly transparent with us. Councilmen have been very generous with their time. They took me on a walk around downtown and we talked for hours about downtown. So just that building that rapport, I think, was a good move for them. And getting Josh Smith, I think, was a great move. If anybody can succeed in putting these projects together, I think it's Josh Smith. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Well, we got a call from Allison who says the McGuire sisters first sang at the Manchester Inn, make it a music venue. So there's a thought. I've been talking with Gabe Shainline, a member of Middletown's Planning Commission and a member of Save Downtown Middletown. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll hear about a Norwood native who was a baseball star when Pete Rose was just a toddler. This is Cincinnati Edition.